Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It is your Caped Crusader, Cody, and we are keeping it geekly with our two new friends, David Barish of Crowdfunder and Jen Vaughn, a creator who recently ran a campaign on it. Welcome, guys. Welcome to the show. I'm very excited to get you two on. How are you guys doing today?
Doing really well. Thanks, Cody. It's great to be here. Thanks for inviting us.
Absolutely. It's Thursday, which I call Friday Junior, my favorite day of the week. So happy to be here.
Friday, that's the best day of the week, right? But Thursday is now one of my favorite parts because we get to break down what Crowdfunder is exactly. But before we do that, David, let's dive into, you know, kind of the history of who you are and how you came about becoming the CEO of Crowdfunder.
Sure. Well, first of all, I'm the president. The CEO is Daryl Hatton.
President. My
that's
apologies.
Okay. No big deal. Daryl founded the company in 2009. Crowdfunder is actually part of Connection Point. Connection Point has been doing crowdfunding now for 12 years. The first platform that Connection Point made live was Fundraiser, which was a fund anything, fund everything platform. And it really, based on the nature that the people that are working there, really, we gravitated more and more towards social good campaigns. And we've done over 200,000 campaigns now, raised $250 million for social good. And what happened was we started seeing that, you know, some of the audiences that were in Fundraiser were not really being appropriately served. They were, one of those audiences was the audience of creators, and they were being very successful in there using Fundraiser, but we wanted to be able to do more for the arts and for creators. And so we decided that we were going to launch Crowdfunder actually later this year. But an interesting thing happened. There was a creator named Matthew Allison who decided that he didn't want to do his campaign on another prominent crowdfunding platform. And so he went out to Reddit and asked the question, you know, where should I do my crowdfunding? And the answers that came back to him were, you should go check out Fundraiser. And interestingly, if you do a search online for alternatives to other crowdfunding platforms, then Fundraiser comes up as one of the top alternatives, even though it wasn't really designed to be a rewards-based crowdfunding platform. It does rewards-based crowdfunding, but it was, you know, really designed more as a social good platform. So Matthew went to the site and checked it out, and he's like, I don't know, this doesn't exactly feel like it's a creator centric crowdfunding platform, but I'll give it a shot. And his campaign, which he intended to raise $25,000, ended up doing $62,000.
Wow.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it was really cool. And so we reached out to him to be like, hey, this is amazing, you know, great job. And his response was, I think there are other creators out there that would really be able to benefit from this. And he pulled together a group of creators for us to meet with, and we told them about our plans for Crowdfunder. These are all comics creators. Mm-hmm. And they said, that's amazing, we want an alternative. So instead of doing it later this year, we sped up our timeline and and launched it just 2 months ago. And we've had, you know, great response since, and you know, a bunch of comics creators and other creators. We have documentary filmmakers, and we have people that are doing art, artists and music albums and others. Jen's gonna hopefully tell us about some gamers, and and so we've got we've got a bunch of really great creators now coming onto the platform. So I'm really excited about it. It's been super, super fun for me. You know, as I've been engaging with the creator community more and more, it's just been such such a warm, welcoming group. You know, they're looking at what we're doing and welcoming us into the club. And that's been really fun for me.
No, speaking of creators, we have J. Michael Miller in the chat over on YouTube saying, I love some of Crowdfunder's features. I was happy to run Kid Cretaceous again with you. Yeah, nothing but praise over there.
Wow, I know
when we interviewed, after interview, he had nothing but praise as well about how everything was running. Jen, how was your experience running your campaign on Crowdfunder? Did you have experience previously running campaigns on other platforms?
Yes, I was one of the OGs back in the day on PayPal. Creating my own little thermometer and trying to crowdfund to get to certain events and do make a like research zines on technology, basically. And then, yes, back in 2009, I ran my first Kickstarter for a comics anthology. And then on to around, I think it was 2013, I ran the Fantagraphics Kickstarter. They were one of the first big campaigns to or comics companies to crowdfund. We had just lost Kim Thompson, who was one of our publishers, and also a polyglot who translated like half of the line of books. So it was like a pre-order thing. And now you see other companies like Vault and Boom now going over to sort of a pre-order type setup on crowdfunding platforms as well. So yes, I've done it for my personal comics, my work comics, and soon I'll also be doing it for some tabletop role-playing as well.
Ooh, okay.
So, yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. So what was your experience like running your campaign on Crowdfunder compared to the other platforms that you worked with?
Oh, it was smooth like butter. It was so helpful, partially because I got in like on the ground floor, like it's like we as part of like the launch partners. So we were able to, and still able to, talk to David and a lot of the devs over there and like ask for certain features or when they would be available for us.
Oh, that's
and things
awesome.
Like that. Yeah. And like questions were are answered very swiftly and in a public forum on the Creator Hub as well, which we could talk about some more later. But there were a lot of reasons that I like using and will continue to use Crowdfunder. Partially, they have sorry, David, this is like you listening to yourself. You're just like, yes, great. No. But for other people, you can. There's a variety of options for how you choose to get your campaign funded. So you can do the all or nothing version. You can do the keep it all. So then you get paid a little bit over time. You can change the dates. So I actually did mine for a month. And then between a little... not looking forward enough in time. The last week of my campaign was San Diego Comic-Con and I moved to France.
Oh no.
So I didn't quite get enough of the push I wanted. So, you know, we just added another week on and hit our goal. So that was nice. The back end of the, like what you see when you are creating your campaign is wonderful. You can create little vanity links. Anyone can actually, so when they share it, it can be like, Cody wants you to see a backstory comic and he's already raised $60 for this. So it's got like some cool bragging rights. You can also, as far as like the tiers go as well, for most other crowdfunding platforms, you know, you have your like your little tier, your medium tier, which then has to include that like that stuff or that sort of thing. And this, you didn't have to do tiers; you could just do items. So people could add items as they want them. So you wouldn't have to pay like $200 because you really want that T-shirt, but you're like, I don't need another coffee mug in my life as part of your swag. So that was super nice, as well as something called perks. So it could be like you could also buy the creators a cup of coffee, which, you know, or they can name it whatever they want, but something that was sort of like a little like tip for them, all sorts of stuff. So it was fantastic, and I found it very simple to use. And they also, in the Creator Hub, sorry, am I talking too long?
No, no, you're good. You're good. This is what I want. I am okay. I talk like 20%, you guys talk the 80%.
Yeah. We can show off the Creator Hub a little bit too, but there are a series of that are all for free. All you have to do is sign up for an account. But there are webinars and packs, like press packs and stuff on how to improve your campaign, your marketing. They've been bringing in several people. I know Robin. Oh my gosh, I just forgot. Robin Warren from Geek Girl Strong is coming in to talk soon.
Oh wow!
And obviously, Jaslyn Stone was doing a lot. Gigi, who has an art project on there, was also talking about like I don't know if it was like, I actually forgot what it was about, but just because Gigi's work is so beautiful, I'm like, yes, please keep talking, keep showing us your, what you do. So a lot of opening the doors and opening hearts, but also like letting people learn things for free, because information should be free and available to everyone.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a big part of why a crowdfunder is like the highest to me of all of the crowdfunding campaigns, is because it's not behind a paywall, or it's not just for special creators who make them enough money where they invite you to a camp. So no shade, but you know,
I was gonna say it feels pretty shady over here.
Like, yeah, somebody's spitting a lot. I don't know who it is.
It seems like you guys are so creator like oriented. It is just remarkable. I love. I really want to touch base upon the pricing tiers and then the availability to extend that campaign, because like the stress. You know, I've interviewed a ton of creators, and I can count on more hands and feet than I can count. How many people were just stressed to the max because they can't keep up with, you know, the last couple of days. So that, you know, that has to be such an awesome advantage to be able to just push that a couple of days forward. And it seems like a no-brainer. Like, why aren't other platforms doing that?
You don't have an answer, Jen? I don't have an answer.
Little on-air chicken.
Yeah, no. It's because they don't like their creators, Cody. Okay? No.
No. So for you guys on the other end, like, what does that mean for you? Is it hard to do that? Like, is it just a couple numbers in the system? Like, how does that work?
I think we need to be clear about the distinction between an all-or-nothing and a keep-it-all campaign. With an all-or-nothing campaign, the deadline that the creator set really has to be fixed, because it's what happens with an all or nothing campaign is that people pledge, and then the farther you push it out, the less chance there is that the cards that the people had used to pledge are going to work, right? And so, you know, a campaign that runs for 30 days, you'll have like a 5% pledge failure rate. If it's a 60-day campaign, that goes up to, you know, to around 8%. And so with those types of campaigns, you really do want to keep them short, and you want to make sure that they're tight. With a keep it all campaign, the funds go directly to the creator from the moment that the campaign starts.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I think that's another really important distinction to make between crowdfunder and other platforms, is we never touch the money. We never touch the creator's money. The creators put in their Stripe and their PayPal accounts, and the money flows directly to them. So the moment your campaign is open, if you're doing a keep it all campaign, you start getting the money right away. And one of the nice things about that is that if you fund within a day, you can actually get all that money that day. And then, you know, start fulfillment. You know, if you're ready to send things to print, you can send them to print. Or if you have to, you know, finish paying the letterer to get the rest of it done, then you've got the money to pay them. Or if your campaign does really well, you can start taking that money that same day and turning it back into more marketing to make your campaign even more successful. So
that is remarkable. That's awesome.
Yeah, we really want creators to be able to run their businesses the way they want to run them, and not put on any sort of platform constraints that'll hold them back, or rules that they have to follow. And the other nice thing about us not touching the money is that if you do an all or nothing campaign, when the campaign is over, you don't actually have to wait until the campaign is over for you to fund. The moment, so let's say you do a 30-day campaign. After day one, it's an all or nothing. But after day one, you hit your goal, you can trigger funding. So it's not just the all or nothing campaigns. If in the case of other platforms, you have to wait until the campaign is over, and then that triggers funding, and then you have to wait another 10 to 15 days until they transfer the funds over to you. And with us, you know, it's your money. You should be getting it as soon as you hit your target. You should be getting it. Or if it's a keep it all, then you just get it the day that people start sending you money. We really want to get out of the way. We want to create a an environment where creators and their supporters can really have the kind of interaction that that they want to have, so that direct connection with their supporters.
No, that is so awesome. I love how you guys are so like centered towards the creator and their experience. I can't tell you how many people are stressed out because they have to wait a week or two or maybe a month. Sometimes even the payment gets stuck and they have to wait even longer, and that pushes the books out even further. But the fact that they can, if they fund day one, get that sent to the printer right then and there, they could essentially have the book done before the campaign's even done. Like, that is so awesome.
Yeah, and that is absolutely the case. And there are those that are they're actually doing that. They're able to take the funds right away and just go to print.
And one thing I like too is, like, if there is the chance where they don't fund, you could push that back, and they're able to you know, so that campaign's not lost. Like, that is so awesome. Real quick,
I don't mean to cut you off, but on that point specifically, every campaign on our platform, once you hit your deadline, it rolls over. Now, granted, if you hit your deadline and you've hit your goal, on an all or nothing campaign, it immediately rolls over into a store, and so the campaign doesn't end until you actually close it. So, you know, people have said to us, I get emails from people 3 days after the campaign that is over that still want to order this item, and I don't have any way of selling it to them. And so we said, well, why not just keep the campaign open? And so any campaign that you run with us can convert right over into a store, and you can continue accepting orders. And if you haven't sent it to print yet, then you've got more orders, and you can continue selling.
That is awesome.
And so, you know, there's no platform hindrance on you being able to continue selling directly through your campaign, which is also nice because, you know, you build up a whole bunch of SEO. When you start a any kind of crowdfunding campaign, you are posting it all over. You're doing podcasts. You're getting articles written about it. And every link points back to your campaign. And all of that stays in the internet. So I've found situations where, you know, I'm interested in a particular comic, and I search for it, and it shows me that comic's campaign from 3 years ago. And then, now what? Like, what do I do now? So with us, if people wanted to, they could keep that campaign open and continue selling from that same page.
And I will say, as a creator, my comic called Backstory has continued to make sales since it ended. And it's been fantastic. So I'm like, ooh, you know, like, someone I went to high school with just threw me some money. Great.
Yeah, no, yeah. I really like that too, because I think there's only one other platform that does something, but they don't even do it to that extent. They just leave it they leave it in demand for a little bit, but you guys are offering a whole storefront, so it's like you're doing everything like better than the competition, and I just we love to see it, right? We love to see it. Quick though, I do want to touch base on some of the chat. We have Rage Cage Ruger, sorry if I mispronounced that, woohoo, tabletop RPGs. We're gonna have to talk about that at the end, get a little sneak peek at that. And then I've paid $0 and have learned quite a bit already, so we got some hype in the chat. Megan Carter, wow. Oh, interesting. So once you hit goal, you have access to the money regardless of the day.
That's right. No, yeah, that's so awesome. if you hit your goal on day one or day six or day 10, whatever it is, you can fund. It doesn't automatically happen, but the creator gets a notification from us saying, hey, if you're ready to fund, you can fund. And then they can go ahead and hit the fund button, and the cards are charged and money flows through, and they're good to go.
No, that is awesome. Real quick, what type of campaign restrictions do you have? Like, what, I guess, would be something that you would not want to fund on Crowdfunder or have running a campaign of?
Right. So first and foremost, we don't allow hate of any kind. So that means, you know, anyone that is inciting hatred or violence or anything like that, that's just not allowed at all. Other than that, pretty much any content is welcome. You know, if certainly underrepresented voices are extremely welcome. We also we do accept adult oriented content, as long as there isn't any explicit stuff on the site. You know, we just don't want that in people's faces right away. But if if people are doing that, then that's also welcome. And then
we would say it's under the covers, if you will, of the book.
Right. Right. Well, well played, Jen. And we don't, you know, we don't allow the sale of anything that's regulated. Yeah. So, you know, if people are going to want to do that, that's also not something that we allow. But for the most part, we're here to support the arts and to support creators. And so we're not going to say what is and what is not art. And I think the most important thing about this is that there's no project that's too small for us. You know, if you are a creator that is just getting started, you've never done this before, you're still a student. I mean, we have some people that do that come in that are students, and they're like, you know, I want to do my my senior project and try and get it funded. And you know, we love that. So any project is really welcome, and we are really trying to support beginning creators too. So most welcome. And again, not every campaign is going to succeed. And, you know, that's okay. Give it a shot, you know, try and see if you can get your project funded. And we've got, as Jen mentioned earlier, there are toolkits in the Creator Hub with guidelines on how to run a successful crowdfunding campaign. You know, we know that that artists and creators, their real passion is their art, right? Mm-hmm. Their passion is not the business side
their projects. It's marketing funded. David. Yeah.
Well, I mean, so, it makes sense, right? Like, you end up spending so much time on marketing that you don't have time to
really
do the
do.
Art or yeah. to write the comic, because you're spending so much time trying to get it out there or trying to learn. What is the average turnaround on approvals for campaigns, real quick?
They get approved right away. So we don't have a method of, you know, you post a campaign, you have to wait for approval from us, and then it goes. Rather, we have let people post their campaigns. And then if we see ones, we go in there every daily and we check what's going on. If we see ones that are violating our terms, then we'll shut them down. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we think that a campaign is not, I don't know, pretty or not interesting or whatever, we'll still let it run, because that's not up to us. It's up to the creator and their audience, you know? And so we're not going to be tastemakers. We're providing a platform for any creator to make the connection with their audience.
Oh, that is awesome. One thing I love is your platform for creators of any size. Like, that was always kind of like my mission statement starting out, is anyone, regardless of their size or following, I'd love to get them on the show, like, because they deserve to have their voice heard too. There's someone with a story they deserve to have. Someone help push that book out for them. So I want to kind of direct over to Jen real quick, because we haven't really learned too much about your book. So give us a little bit about that. And then I think that would be a perfect segue for us to actually pull up the campaign on Crowdfunder and take a little bit deeper of a look as well.
Absolutely, Cody. Thank you for asking. No, So mine is a comic called Backstory. It's written by Ryan K. Lindsay. The art is by me. And then the gorgeous colors are by Teo Acosta. And we actually started this like at the beginning of COVID, and then, you know, like got kind of sad and all that stuff, you know, and then put it away. But then I heard about Crowdfunder. And I will also say, at the time, I was also looking for a new crowdfunding platform, because certain ones that already exist are into blockchain and NFTs as well. Mm-hmm. And Crowdfunder is not, and specifically says they will not. So I'm like, yes, absolutely for me. So I got Ryan and Teo on board. They're like, yeah, absolutely, make it happen for us. And it's just great, because Ryan is in Australia and then Teo is down in California. I was in Seattle, Washington at the time. And so we started our campaign. It is a one-shot comic about a group of unruly teenagers who happen upon a superhero's ring and immediately start creating havoc. Like, everything could go wrong will go wrong. So it's sort of like the backstory for the next superhero or villain, depending on how it goes. I met Ryan K. Lindsay a couple years ago at Emerald City Comic Con, and he was like, he'd won like some DC talent contest and was like doing some Superman comics, but I was just like, I loved his brain. So I was like, let's work together. And, you know, I love drawing trashy teens. So I was just like, that's how it has to go. And and Tao and I had been doing a lot of life drawing together in Seattle. And he does a lot of comics called like Hex Wizard, and is a a storyboard artist as well. So already he knows what to do, how to treat a comic with love. And I just like his color palettes that he worked with. So we have our campaign going. If you do go visit it right now, by the way, which you should and can, you can still purchase a copy of it. We are finishing up the coloring and lettering right now. And it does look like we didn't make our campaign, but it's just because we're getting some of the cards, like they didn't go through. So I've been contacting the creators, the card holders to be like, hey, you want to still get that comic? So like we did fund, we got our money and all that other stuff. So, it was a lot of fun. And like, again, because it was like a one-shot comic, we wanted to focus on the art. We didn't do a lot of tiers, but we had like a thank you in the comic, a digital version, including a black and white version as well. So if people wanted to try their own hand at coloring the comic, and then they could compare.
Awesome.
Yeah, I feel like there's always like being able to like apply yourself. We also provided the script. So again, because occasionally I get asked for my comic scripts because people are like, oh, my girlfriend or boyfriend wants to practice, you know, and it helps if like you like can like draw what you think the comic should look like and then compare it to something else. So we provide that in the digital pack, and then we have a physical one, and then a special print of the four girls for anyone that wants one as well. So a pretty a small amount of rewards, but something that I also felt was manageable and fun. So,
well, you know, sometimes having too much can be too much to manage too, right? Then you have to oversee so many different aspects, and then when there's more stuff, there's more stuff that can go wrong. So sometimes keeping it short and sweet is the best route to go. How long did it take you to create your campaign? Like, what was that process like for you? You know, was it pretty streamlined, like creating your first campaign on Crowdfunder?
Oh yeah, it was very easy. I think I spent more time making the video than I did actually making the kit. Like, did a couple versions of like the writing. Ryan and I worked on it together to be like, okay, what do we want to highlight? We should, you know, include a little about us section and stuff too, because we've both done a lot of crowdfunding on comics. And then obviously a video always helps because you get to show off your personality, you know, but not talk about the book. I am actually like a stringent no video watcher, because unless the project is like about video production, I'm like, why would I watch this creator be uncomfortable doing something they don't normally do? So I'll just fund based on artwork, if it's comics and stuff, and like the description. So I was just like, oh no, I have to make a video. I'm gonna be like blushing the whole time. So it was very easy to do, in and out. And the crowdfunder group was around. So like if I wanted another pair of eyes on it, or also people in the creator hub can have them come and look at a preview of it before it goes live and everything, like all the good stuff that you can do to make sure that it's legible and readable to other people too, because sometimes you get in your own head and all that stuff. So it did not take long at all, like maybe a couple hours, just because I, you know, zhuzhed it. That was one other thing that you could do in Crowdfunder, just not available in others, is you can provide your own images for each reward or your tier levels, which I was like, oh, I'm going to draw mine, clearly, absolutely. So but that way it's not just a list of stuff and people have to imagine. So I think that was a very cool thing that you're allowed to do on Crowdfunder.
Well, speaking of campaigns, let's go ahead and pull it up and take a look at it together.
Oh, sure.
So we are looking at the backstory one shot. Backstory one shot comic by Ryan K. Lindsay, Jen Vaughn, and Tao Acosta. Did I say that right?
Tao Acosta. It's okay.
Tao Acosta. Sorry about that. This is I just love how everything looks like it's a nice, for me, I love a nice scroll, and I also love the ability, you know what I mean, like a nice scroll. It's a nice right here's all the social media platforms too that I really enjoyed. So you know, instead of having to copy and paste the link and go to your stuff, this automatically directs you. So that is huge. That takes a big chunk of the process, like going to all these social media platforms, like they're just right here for you.
Yeah
if you want, if you click on the link there, it's the link button, sorry,
right here.
Yeah. It also gives you a QR code.
Ooh.
It automatically generates one. So that's
yeah. No, this is cool. This is cool. Yeah, just tell me where you want me to click to. I'll click wherever you want. So
I will say you're also you can do some light page creation or influence. You can put an image in the background. I just went with this teal that sort of matches the teal in
Well, right here.
But you could personalize it a bit. Yep.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. So you could really change the whole, like, it's like almost like a MySpace page. You know what I mean? Yeah, like how you could really.
But before it went too wild. Yeah. yeah, Cody, you should click the contribute button. If not, yeah. So yeah, as you can see on the left side or right side, excuse me, is where I made little images for the different awards.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. As well. And then, go into a little bit more detail. And then, yeah, there's like a couple, images from, some pages of the comics, because if you are making a comic crowdfunder, project, you should show images from the comic or actual sequential pages. So, we didn't show any of the lettering because it is, again, just a one-shot comic. So I was like, it might give away too much, but
I also like how it has a list of the recent, contributions too. To show like everyone who's been buying and contributing.
Yes, absolutely. Oh yeah, and we also had a reward tier for or pack for comic book shops, which I think is something people should always try to provide if they're making comics. Which is where you offer it at half the cover price, but that way it gets the thing you worked on so hard in a brick and mortar comic book store. Like, yeah, because comic book companies always love usually love crowdfunding projects because it gets more good stuff out in the world, and then they have access to stuff that, because they have usually most places have a local shelf, like our local artists and whatnot, but being able to buy some from a crowdfunding campaign provides another venue of like getting like cool stuff just for them. So we've got an example comic of like my black and white version of a page, and then Teo's gorgeous colors. And then, of course, our faces, because you have to. I don't know why he included a sad one of him at a convention, but that's how it goes.
He's like, do I have to do this?
Yeah.
and then yours is like so like
dramatic.
Powerful. Yeah, I love
it. I was power posing next to a bookshelf, yes. And then Teo looks like a wizard, so.
It's mahogany bound, leather bound books, rich in mahogany smell. So, I'm also a big fan of this too, the pie graphs of where the money is going, showing people exactly what it's funding.
Absolutely. Printing, you know, and shipping is always usually a big part of that. Having a certain amount, like 5 to 10% going to unexpected costs, because while you have a quote from a printer or you have a quote for shipping or whatnot, you never know when the prices are going to raise. So having just that little bit of buffer is the difference between you feeling comfortable with your campaign and like mailing out the stuff versus you like, you know, getting sweaty.
Paying out of pocket potentially too.
Exactly. Yeah. And also we're paying ourselves because we're doing it mostly for free. So I was just like, heck yes.
About that, Jen, if I can, one of the things that we do differently, another thing that we do differently is we don't include the shipping costs in the goal. So if you set your goal to be $3,000, that when people are making their pledges, that does not include the shipping costs. So if the shipping costs are going to be another $1,000, that gets collected. It gets collected at the same time, but it does not go toward the goal. So you don't have to inflate your goal number to guess what your shipping might be. Because you don't know whether you're going to get international orders or domestic orders or shipping costs will change. You know, you can really set the goal to what you actually need, and then the shipping shipping funds are collected outside of the goal.
Oh, that is really cool. I like that too, because that you know, that's a big thing for me too, is like getting hit with those shipping costs like unexpectedly.
Yeah.
Got some hype in chat too. Put your credit card information here. You know, I might just have to. Megan saying, I like that you could add your own images for reward tiers as well. I think that's awesome. I really do think that is an awesome thing that you can do. You could really add a lot of personality to a campaign.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and then we also wrote a little section on like why one-shot comics are a great way to just explore spaces in a short amount of time, which leads me to another point about crowdfunder, is you can actually fund a series of connected projects as well. So if you wanted to run a campaign just for issue one, but then attach it or, you know, then connected to an issue too. That is something that they provide that is very easy and streamlined. Correct me if I'm wrong, David, but
no, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
So how would that look? Would that give you like a link to click to the second issue from issue one, or?
Yeah. So you have kind of like a primary campaign for the series. And then under that, you'll have a campaign for each issue in that series. And they all show up on the same page, on the series page. And then there's the issue one, you click through, you can contribute to that. Issue two, click through, contribute to that. And one of the nice things about that is if somebody only discovers you on issue four, they can go back, and as long as you're still providing them, they can go back to the previous campaigns and still support them, because even though those campaigns are over, they're still open and available for ordering. So,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So it's, that's the series based campaigns, right now are only available to our organization tier. So in, one of the cool things about Crowdfunder is that we have features that are for, indie publishers and indie studios, that are unique to them. So for example, you don't have to wait until one campaign is completely fulfilled before starting your next campaign. You can go ahead and run as many campaigns concurrently as you want. And so that's really nice for publishers who want to run a campaign every month with somebody else. They don't want to have to wait until their previous campaign has been completely fulfilled in order to, or be approved to be able to do that. They want to just be able to run their business the way they want. And so, you know, that's one of the things that's really nice about it. We also, because of that, we have a very unique permissions set. So as a publisher or an indie studio, you can create campaigns for the creators in your roster and then give them each access to their campaigns so that they can go in and connect with the supporters. They can post updates. They can see the activity in there, but then their permissions are only for those campaigns that they're working on, while the other creators have permissions to their campaigns. And so, you know, there are just some really unique features that we have in the platform for publishers, for indie publishers and indie studios, that I think are well worth checking out to support those indie groups too. You know, we had talked earlier about not every creator wants to do the business side of things, and that's why it's a good choice to try and find an indie publisher to work with, because they can really help out. They've got a lot of experience and they know what they're doing.
No, absolutely. And a good question popped up in chat, and you know, I do think it's important to acknowledge that you've overseen like almost a quarter of a million campaigns to this point.
Yes.
But you know, Rage Cage Ruger has a question. Does allowing current campaigns increase a risk of creators creating a bunch of campaigns, taking the money and not fulfilling? Like, so I guess, like, let me reword that. Like, what type of excuse me, what type of what's the word I'm looking for? Thresholds do you have in place to prevent that?
Right. So that is always a risk in crowdfunding. You know, if you're supporting a crowdfunding campaign, you have to remember you're essentially making a donation in the hope that this person's project will get fulfilled and that this person will end up sending you the things that you've ordered. But that's where crowdfunding is different than a pre-order system. In a pre-order system, you have, you know, it's a financial transaction where you're making a purchase. With crowdfunding, you're making a donation. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, there are risks involved in crowdfunding. So I just, you know, kind of that's off the bat. Every single if you want to scroll all the way up.
Yeah.
Every single campaign has a report button on it. So just below the social bar. Yep. And so you can report, individuals can report any suspicions that they have about the campaign, or
they've
seen a campaign that, you know, that people have not, that they're just not fulfilling on their campaigns or anything like that. They can let us know. And then we have, of course, you know, measures in place to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And we also, I mean, I think it's also important to know that we've been doing this for a long time.
Yeah.
And so we have built an AI in the background that can identify, and you know, it's an AI, so it's not 100% accurate, but it does identify campaigns that it thinks are likely to be fraudulent campaigns. And we, of course, manually, it flags them for us. So we manually check all of those to make sure that that we're not looking at, that these are campaigns that we want to keep going forward. So, you know, we kind of live by this philosophy of trust people first and then verify, right?
Yeah, so absolutely.
We don't have a queue to wait for the campaigns to go live. You can make your campaign live. We trust that creators that are coming in are doing this because they love their art. They love their supporters. But we do have mechanisms to verify it afterwards and make sure that what people are looking at is what really should be here. What they're supporting is what should really be here.
No, absolutely. And every platform has had issues. You know, I think that's important to acknowledge that. I mean, there's a big issue where on one platform, someone was running a duplicate campaign of another, and it was like funded like $2,000-$3,000 before it got caught. So, I mean, you know, I just wanted to ask that question because it popped up in chat. And
it's a great question.
Yeah, it's really awesome about that AI. That seems like something that's not like being used in other platforms either.
I don't really know if it's being used in other platforms. I'd be surprised if they didn't, though. I would expect that they're also, you know, that they've got enough experience to be able to use some machine learning to identify what campaigns might be fraudulent. But I don't know for sure. I know what we do.
Yeah.
It's not something. And if other platforms do that, they might not want to talk about it. but we're very, very transparent about how we run our own business. I mean, you were mentioning earlier about the pricing. You know, we do, I don't know if now is the right time for it, but we have what we refer to as different flavors of free. You know, we have our Simply Free plan, our Nearly Free plan, and our Not Free plan in our pricing. And certainly people are welcome to go check out what each of those mean.
Yeah, but, actually, I could pull that up right now if you want.
Click on, oh yeah, that'll work.
Do I go?
Yeah, I just delete the Creator Hub. There you go.
Boom.
And then pricing. Go to the pricing. Yeah. So with our Simply Free plan, and again, you the creator gets to choose how we get paid, right? Mm-hmm. So this is entirely up to you. And so we're not saying to you, this is our pricing, you know, take it or leave it. With the Simply Free plan, the idea is that the campaign owner will pay the credit card fees, because credit card fees and taxes are both inevitable, and there's no avoiding them. Mm-hmm. But then we don't charge you anything. We ask your supporters for a tip, and we basically say, we're providing free crowdfunding to this creator. Please give us a tip to keep leaving this free. And if they tip, then we get paid. And if they don't tip, then we don't get paid. It's a risk that we're willing to take in support of creators being able to get their work out there. And for the most part, you know, people will tip and we do get paid. And so we're super grateful for that. I think it's because people want to see the campaign succeed. Mm-hmm. And so they're willing to throw in a few extra bucks in order to make that happen. On the Nearly Free side, this is really cool because, as I had mentioned, you know, credit card fees are inevitable. But the way this one works is we not only ask the supporters, we don't ask the supporters for a tip. Instead, we ask them to cover the 5% platform fee and the credit card fees. And so what that means is that if they do choose to do the fee recovery and pay for both the platform fee and the credit card fees, then essentially it costs the creator nothing because everything has been covered by the supporter. And more often than not, the supporters are willing to do that. They're willing to throw in a few extra dollars to cover all the fees. And so you end up with campaigns where the total cost of running the campaign is less than the credit card fees. So if credit card fees are 2.9% plus 30 cents, we've seen effective fees, effective costs of crowdfunding being mm-hmm. less than 2%, in some cases even as low as less than 1%. And so this is where the supporters say, yeah, we will help you with your fees because we want your campaign to succeed. And so it really is the absolute cheapest way to crowdfund, because it costs sometimes less than 2%. Sometimes it's, you know, a little bit more, but it's always, sorry.
No, you're fine.
It's almost always less than the Simply Free plan. And then, of course, the not fee free plan is we charge 5%. You pay your Stripe and you pay your credit card fees. And, you know, it's basically the same fee that you would see on every other platform. And the reason why somebody would choose this is because they would say, I'm happy my supporters are contributing. I don't want to ask them for anything else in the way of tip or fee recovery. I'm just going to cover the costs. This is what I want to do. I will say almost nobody chooses this option, but we do make it available for those that want it. And, you know, and it's also, I mean, it's the option that everyone's used to because this is how the other platforms charge. Mm-hmm. So it's there.
So I really love, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've gone through a campaign and seen a pie chart where they have like 5-10% for the platform's fee, the chunk that they take. So I love the options that you have here. Like, what are, I guess, are the typical like price increases a customer or a consumer can expect when getting from the Simply Free and compared to the Nearly Free?
Yeah, so on the Simply Free side, we simply ask for a tip and we give them, you know, some options on what a fair tip would be. It's kind of like when you go to a restaurant and they hand you the machine and the machine, it's, you know, there's a few percentage points and you just select one and you go with it. On the Nearly Free side, we calculate accurately what the platform fees are, what the total fees are going to be, the platform fee plus the credit card fees. We usually know, calculate what those fees are going to be based on the size of the transaction, the processor that they're using, you know, if they're using an international card, stuff like that. And so it is going to be almost exactly, in each case, the accurate costs of the transaction. Mm-hmm. And so, so in that case, you know, it's really just spot on what that transaction is going to cost.
No, that is awesome. Yeah. I love that we had a chance to go over this because this was something I really wanted to break down because this is unique to just you guys, right? No one else is offering any sort of plan like this.
To the best of my knowledge, which is pretty good, gonna be honest. yeah, nobody else is offering this. And again, it's part of our, you know, what we refer to as our creator friendly crowdfunding approach. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to be creator friendly. We're a social impact company. We are a business, but we are social impact oriented, and we want to support the arts. And this is the way that we can do that is by really focusing on giving creators an opportunity to do the business the way they want it done and to choose the fee structure that works for them. And, you know, just really make it kind of simple and straightforward.
No, absolutely. Let's go ahead and check out this Creator Hub that you guys were talking about earlier.
Yeah. And actually I had something to like transition us about money to the, so like what, 13 years ago, I'm trying to remember the exact time ish I'm like, okay, when I was in, yeah. So I went to a comic book school actually for graduate school, the Center for Cartoon Studies in Vermont. And we went and visited Mirage Studios, and they were a comic book company that solely made the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle comics. it was Peter Laird and obviously Kevin Eastman for a while, the artist. But so we got to, and then a couple other artists that came in later. And so we, like our class of like 24 people, got to sit and talk to Peter Laird, you know, about comics, industry and whatnot. And at the time, and for about a stretch of, I'd say about a decade, Peter Laird funded something called the Xeric Grant, X-E-R-I-C. And it was a grant you could apply for every year. And it would give you like $2,000 basically to help print your comic. And that was a big thing. It was like, people are applying every year. You would go to like the Small Press Expo in Maryland, one of the many comic book shows on the East Coast, because that's right around the time everyone that got the Xerica grant would like they would be debuting there. Mm-hmm. And I remember him saying that he was only at the time, he's only going to do it one more year because of crowdfunding campaigns that were starting to come out, like Kickstarter and whatnot. And he saw that as like, he was like, who wants some old white guy's money when people can connect directly to their audience and when they can connect to friends? And as much as I super wanted a Xeric grant so I could just say I won one, like I appreciate what his thought process. Because because he was basically taking money every year and you know, funding a lot of younger cartoonists. And I see a crowdfunder, and especially with the Creator Hub and its access to information and community, as like the next step forward, even in crowdfunding. So yes, so now, and as you can see, we also have, so there's this variant logo by Kieran Cunningham. Mm-hmm. And you've had a couple different, you've got one behind you, right, David?
I do, yeah. This is, I'm gonna move my head a little bit. This is this is a variant that was done by Phil Chapman. Based on his a character that he created for his System Error series of comics. Yeah, so Jen, what were you gonna?
Oh, I was just saying that, sorry, I was saying like, it's a cool thing is also that crowdfunder is like paying artists to make more art, even if it's not like a campaign. It's always like, who doesn't love being paid to be like, just do it? Well, perhaps you say do anything other than use the crowdfunder logo. No.
That is pretty much our instructions. Here are the dimensions. Do whatever you want. Just use the crowdfunder logo in some way. And so we've commissioned quite a few of these, and we roll them out every couple of weeks. And before too long, we're going to have a section of the site where people can see the past crowdfunder variants.
Oh, that's going to be awesome.
And they are stunningly beautiful. Gigi Knight did one that was gorgeous, and as did Jay Stevens and Dave Baker and a bunch of other really talented artists.
Mm-hmm. Excuse me, I was getting ready to talk and my words did not want to come out. Megan saying, what a beautiful segue. And that really was. I always love when I can learn something new from an interview. And the fact that he was doing that to help fund before crowdfunders like really were a thing, that's such a remarkable experience to be a part of. And I could definitely get wanting to just say you won that grant, but like, and understanding the importance of what he wanted to do, like that's beautiful. So let's check out this Creative Hub. I think we built up this hype enough. Let's see what it's about.
The people are screaming. Yeah, get in there.
All right. So what are we looking at right here?
So this is essentially the feed. And any posts that people make in either the forums or an update that they make will show up in the feed, and so people can kind of see what's going on there. The idea is that we really wanted the Creator Hub to not be about crowdfunding. We wanted it to be about the process, and so you can see we created forums, and they're linked all across the top there. But from the beginning, collaboration, finding people that you want to work with, then doing the crowdfunding, doing the promotion for your crowdfunding, production, printing, fabrication, and then fulfillment and shipping. And these are areas where people can ask questions about any stage of the process and get feedback from other creators that are doing the same thing, have done it, and have ideas about, you know, who to work with, just suggestions on how to promote yourself and get your word out there. And so that's kind of the main idea there. But we also set up groups so that people, like-minded people that want to be able to talk about different topics can come in, join a group, and you know, find like-minded people where they can ask questions about beyond the process of, you know, just things that are related to the whole creative journey. Go ahead, Jen.
I was gonna say the comics one was like super helpful because unfortunately COVID had shut down a lot of printing houses, and so one of the questions that was asked and answered by a lot of people was like, where are people going now to print comics that are good quality but you know,
that's awesome,
break the bank. So it's been a great way to
there's Jen. And then we have in the Academy section, we'll go on to that. In the Academy section, we have the toolkits.
Where's that?
On the left in the navigation.
Oh, okay. Yep. Sorry. Yep.
So this is some of the stuff that Jen was talking about. We've written these toolkits, a campaign strategy toolkit, a promotion toolkit. You can click on either one of those. And basically, it's a downloadable PDF. And sometimes there are some spreadsheets that you can work with that help you out. This really is a step-by-step guide for those that both are new and are seasoned, to make sure that they kind of plan out their crowdfunding campaign, plan out their promotion, and really get it all down. There's tips in there on how to find your audience, what should your goal be, all kinds of stuff like that, and including some, pretty simple math to help you calculate those things.
I see some terrifying math, actually, depending on what, if it's like, you're going to make it, and it's like, skinny your teeth, babe.
Right, yeah.
I love just how in-depth these guides are. As someone who, like if I'm working on something, I'll Google or YouTube how to do it, and, like, it's frustrating when you just have to, like, watch a video of people doing it. But, like, the fact that you guys take it and break it down step by step, like, this is going to help people. This is going to help a lot of people. This is awesome.
Yeah. Well, I hope people make great use of it. And then we do live sessions. So under exclusives and AMAs, just under the toolkits, we have sessions that are coming up. Like Janet already mentioned, Robin Warren is going to do a session on how to avoid burnout and take care of yourself. And then we also have live training sessions where people can learn more about the Crowdfunder platform. And then, of course, down below that in the contact us section, we have our feature requests. So people will go in and post, this is what I'd like to see in the platform. And they always get an answer. And several of the things that have been in here are already in the queue or in production and going to be released pretty soon. And so, we're constantly listening to what creators need and trying to help them out. By building into the platform the things that will make their campaigns more successful and easier for them to manage.
That's awesome. So you even have a spot for bug reports too, so people can let you know when something's going wrong.
We love getting the bug reports.
No, I love this. You guys are offering so many cool things, like the exclusives and the Ask Me Anythings and the live training and the toolkits, and you really are a platform for the creator.
Well, thanks. Yeah.
I agree. Mentally high-fiving. Yes.
We have Rage saying the toolkits are basically the only reason I feel like I could actually do a crowdfunding campaign. I'm going to be honest. Like, I just, as someone who read comics and interviews, like, I feel like I could run one now, too. Like, I feel like I could successfully could check out these guys and get one going. This is awesome.
Well, I'll be honest with you. We do have people doing podcast campaigns in Crowdfunder, too. So, hey, something to consider.
Hey, yeah, you could,
speaking
need
my
to upgrade your equipment
there.
Maybe or something. Yeah, like.
All right. So, is there anything else in the hub that we might have not covered that you guys want to shine a little bit of a spotlight on, or did we?
So, I guess the last thing is that if you in the members section, you can see who's participating in the Creator Hub, and much like in a members, there you go. And much like in other social networks, you can follow people, you can DM them, you can connect with them. And so, there's just a whole host of people in there. You may find some friends that you want to connect with, and or you may find people that you want to collaborate with, and you can reach out to them and connect with them here and talk to them about, the projects you're working on.
No, that is really cool. This is it's like a Facebook or a MySpace for like creators. In a nutshell, you know what I mean? Like, you guys have all the tools. This is awesome. I'm really happy that we had a chance to really deep dive Crowdfunder and just everything in between. This has been an awesome experience.
Thanks.
I really like appreciate it.
It's the hot topic plus of forums. Like, and I will say that coming up, and also there's staff picks and release, like new releases. So you can see a lot of the campaigns on the little carousel that are coming out. And I will say, if it's all right, if I can mention it, David.
Sure, Jen, please do.
Yeah. Okay. That
I don't know what it is, but go for it.
So the creator launch, or the launch of Crowdfunder, it was like there was a big focus on comics and books. Mm-hmm. And our next focus is in November. We're going to be doing Questember, and it's going to be anything TTRPG related.
Ooh.
So so people that are making custom dice, like boxes or play mats that you want to have, adventures as well, like either PDFs or physical books, maybe you want to maybe you want to crowdfund a live stream of some games and be able to pay your players, a podcast, basically anything that is TTRPG related. We will be focusing on a bunch of people, including a brewery called TPK Brewery in Portland.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they're doing a brick and mortar store, but they're going to make custom campaigns for people to come in. So while they drink or eat, they can go through all these amazing things. So we're very much looking forward to that. And we'll have new TTRPG projects like launching every week. Mm-hmm. That will be wonderful. And as well as in the Creator Hub, though, we will be going over some of the hurdles that often come with making. Whether it's with getting distribution for some of the stuff that you're working on or making PDFs, there's a lot of things that people that haven't done them before, like making them screen reader friendly, mm-hmm. making a printer friendly version, as well as there are some illegal things if you're doing something with Dungeons and Dragons, just like certain creatures and names you cannot use. But there's so much that you can use with their open gaming license, but a lot of people, because I've worked with like from very small publishing companies to large publishing companies, mm-hmm. most people, if they haven't done it before, they just don't know about it. And so we will be going over some of those pitfalls in the Creator Hub during Questember to make sure that everyone is aware and like armed to the teeth, if you will, for a successful campaign.
That is so awesome. I love it. So let's go ahead and move back to our original camera real quick. And then what were you saying, David? I didn't mean to cut you off.
I was just going to say that Jen's all jazzed and excited about this because she actually is running Questember. She got so excited about the initiative, and she's recruiting people to help her out and get the word out there and to participate. And if anyone wants to reach out to her about that, or me, please do. You can also go to crowdfunder.com/spotlight/Questember.
Let's
check that out. Mm-hmm. And just register there, and then we can get back to you with more information about it.
So Jen, go ahead.
I was gonna ask
Jen, are you creating a tabletop as well, or
yes, absolutely. So I'm also part of a podcast, family friendly, all femme presenting, predominantly women of color, called D20 Dames. We've been spinning adventures and yarns for 4 years.
Such a good name, too. That's a catchy name.
Thank you. Yeah, and we just started our newest campaign. We're all playing tweens, so it's fun. All of the cast members and myself, Kat Kruger, who also just had a book come out called How to Be More D&D in Your Life, and it's officially nice. Licensed. Kat, Brittany, and Jess, we all create adventures in our own time that are 5e compatible, Dungeons & Dragons, as well as we are also making non-Dungeons & Dragons stuff because sometimes you just want to play a really gross sci-fi game. Or have a one-page dungeon that's sort of rules agnostic even. So like you could have different rules depending on if you're like flipping a coin, throwing some dice, mm-hmm. catching a pencil in the air, eraser up, or let up, you know, like there's anything that's chance based. It's like that's a tabletop game. So in my mind. So yeah, I will have a couple things and including I'm making a sample of some matches. It sounds very silly, but there's all these Dungeons and Dragons there's all these tabletop candles. And it's like, you know, the dragon's lair. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm like, where are the matches? which is so silly.
How are they lighting these things?
And so I have a book of blessings and then a book of curses. Nice. And so depending on who you're trying to help in a game, you use that match. So it's very silly, but I was just like, I want to do this in addition to a game to show that again that you can make anything.
That is so awesome.
Leather hair straps for barbarians with their gorgeous locks, you know, anything.
Yep, just like mine.
We're gonna get David some gorgeous locks.
That's right. Can I crowdfund my locks? That would be nice.
Yes, we totally can. Yeah. Do you want horse, human? What are we looking at? We'll talk about it off camera.
All right.
So I think now is a perfect time for us to begin wrapping things up. What's next for you guys? David, you got some conventions on the horizon?
Yeah, so we're going to be going to SPX next month in September, Small Press Expo. Really excited about doing that. And we are actually the official sponsors of the Ignatz Awards this year.
Wow, let's go.
Which is a huge privilege. The SPX team was excited about what we're doing, and they kindly accepted us as sponsors of the Ignatz. We're also going to MICE, that's an expo in Boston in October, and Thought Bubble, which is an expo in Harrogate in the UK in November. And for each one of those, we're doing a crowdfunder spotlight. Okay. So that means that if you are participating in SPX or MICE or Thought Bubble, and you let us know, we've got some really great benefits and perks for you. And we will be highlighting campaigns that you, the creator, are running if you're going to be participating in any one of those conventions. So so those are some of the other exciting spotlights that we have coming up in addition to Questember. And we're really excited about participating in these conventions too. It's been a real joy getting to know the people behind them and the people participating in them.
That's so awesome. Jen, what about you, though? I know we learned some of the tabletop, but what about the art side of things?
I will be approving proofs of backstory soon. So as well as I might make like another cover just for fun for some people, you know, like a little, mm-hmm. little special one for people that got in like on the first week or something. Speaking of, David, don't you have some comics near you that have been made on crowdfunding that you can
I
show
don't
off?
Because
oh shoot, I'm so sorry.
No, I'm actually doing this podcast from home to make sure I was in a quiet environment.
I'm sorry.
In the office, I've got some great ones, some great campaigns from Madness, and also this one that we talked about right here, System Error, and other ones are coming. So these are some of the comics that launched with Crowdfunder. So exciting to actually get the physical copies and read them. Super, super fun.
Yes. Oh, that is awesome. We have Kat Wessel 1. I will see you at the Thought Bubble then over on YouTube.
Cool.
So thank you both for coming on here, breaking down Crowdfunder. Before we end things completely, I always like asking one question in particular, because as much as this is a podcast to really break down what you guys are doing, there's a lot of people that are watching that might be creators, you know, doing this for the first time themselves. So with that being said, what type of advice would you offer anyone that might just be struggling to get going with, you know, either writing out a script or drawing out a page and they're just like stuck and they just can't get going? What type of advice would you offer them to help them break through that barrier?
Oh, well, if it was me, it's perfection is the enemy of done, or something similar where it's like, this will not be your only project ever. And the most important thing is to do it, mm-hmm. print it, and then see what you could have made better, but then move on to the next thing, because you could always redraw something. You could always, you know, rewrite something, but at some point you have to commit it and move on. So finish it.
No, that's
that
awesome.
Is great advice. The other thing I would say is you have to just put your butt in the chair and get it done. You know, it's so easy to find reasons to not do it and to be scared of it. But if you just sit down and do the work, you may not like the results, and that's okay. Then, you know, you sit down the next day and you fix that or start over. And most creative projects don't see the light of day, not because they weren't good enough or they didn't get funded. They don't see the light of the day because the person who thought of them did not sit their butt down in the chair and get it done. And so that's really my main advice.
Wow, that was powerful. That was some good stuff. That was some good stuff. Jen, David, thank you both for coming on here, breaking down Crowdfunder. This is such an awesome podcast. Everyone in the chat, thank you so much for hyping things up. This is a beautiful Thursday, the day after New Comic Book Day. Be sure to get on Crowdfunder. Buy Jen's book now. Do it today. Do it today. Have an awesome Thursday, everyone watching. Most importantly, though, keep it geekly.